I'm being joined today by my lovely wife, Erica.
Good morning.
She's such a huge part of this church, and a lot of people have never met her. And so, here you go, Erica Steele. Before we go any further, man.
It's my day.
Two rounds of applause.
I know, it's just excitement.
So, before we go any further, we want to talk to you about something that we've done in our marriage from day one. We got married in 1999, and from that day till now, we put God first in our finances. And
yep.
No matter what job we had or what state we lived in or no kids, three kids, whatever, we always have taken a part of our income that comes in and put it into God's hands first at the beginning or whenever we get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that that's something that we offer to everybody, because really the essence of giving financially to God is about you and God. It's really not about the church or where the money goes. It's about you and your relationship with God. And it would be a disservice for us to withhold that information from you, to withhold that that habit, really that act of faith. So there's several ways to do that here at Promised Land. You can take the envelope and the seat back in front of you and put your offering in there and drop it off in the black boxes on your way out. Or if you want to give via your phone, your computer, digital.
Texting. It's the way.
Text Promised Land, all one word, to 73256.
Yep.
And it will lead you on a few prompts. And in fact, this morning in our first service, we had if you have a card and you want us to do the old-fashioned swipe of a card, we can do that. But that wasn't working at our 8:30 service. And we just directed people, hey, just text Promised Land. And they're like, oh, well, that's easy. Yes, it is. And it's safe. It's safe and easy. So, hello, everybody that's online, hello. Glad that you're here, YouTube, Facebook folks. And I want to say a big, huge thank you to everybody that works in our production team.
Yes.
This is a ministry that is just invaluable. We had a big funeral here this past week, and some friends of ours from Dallas came down and led the service, so I wasn't up here speaking, and I was back in the booth switching cameras and doing all that, and I just thought, man, the people that do this are so awesome. So, I have a coffee in case I need to sip on it. If I get nervous, you start talking about something that makes me nervous.
No, despite what popular opinion, you're going to talk about things that are going to make people nervous, okay. Probably.
Y'all ready? Woohoo! Before we get into it, you should have been given this little pamphlet right here about small groups. We'd love, love, love for everybody in the church to jump into one of these groups. A lot of different options, and these all start this week.
Small groups are the way, y'all. That is you connect with people. That's how the church gets personal and connected.
Yeah.
And this is awesome. We love being together. We think it's part of what we're called to do. But connecting in small groups is...
There's you're like, well, I don't even know what to do. Well, you can pick it based on several different things. You can either pick it based on the topic or the group. So, like, there's women's, men's, family groups, topical groups, book-based groups, college, Texas State, young adults on the back, outreach groups, junior high and high school. Or if there's a certain day, I see Sunday, Friday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, basically every day of the week there's something going on, so you can choose it that way. Erica's leading a couple groups. One is a women's.
Just one. Let's not get too excited here. Just one.
By yourself.
Leading a book group and a book-based group. And
Faith and Fire.
Yeah.
Monday starts tomorrow, 7:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of these have locations and times already printed on here. If that's the case, you can just show up. But we really, really, really want to encourage you to contact the people that are on here and ask them if you're not sure where it is or whatever. The ball is officially being passed to you right now. The ball is in your court. And we think that you're smart enough and mature enough and can figure out how to get to a group if you really want to do it. But we want to encourage you to jump out and meet some folks, because you might think, nobody knows me, it's going to be weird. Well, the cool thing is that all of these groups are new now. Everybody's new to these groups. There may be people there that know each other, but they love, love, love having new faces. So please, don't be afraid to jump into a group. But the second group that we're leading is for, we're doing a group together on Tuesday nights
for 30 people in their 30s.
Yeah,
people.
Single, married, whatever.
That's going to be exciting. So your button's undone.
My button is undone.
He asked talking me about, to tell him, and there is no discreet way to do it once you're sitting here, so you might as well
talking
just
about procreation,
be a part of that.
My shirt just starts coming off, so I'm not sure.
Point made about what I said earlier. So
we want to talk about something that I've heard some of this talked about in church, but we're going to go to an area that I don't know that's ever been talked about in church.
Surely.
Surely somewhere in the world it has, but I've
not
never,
on a daily basis.
It's
a
very odd conversation to have in church. But what we want to talk to you about today is something that God created, and people have taken it and really gone a long way from God and made it about themselves and their feeling and what satisfies them or fulfills them or comforts them instead of honoring God. And a lot of it has to do with our passion, you know, our passion, our hormones, and how they're different based on our gender. And women and men generally have very different ideas of physical attraction, and there's different, what are you thinking?
I'm just waiting for you to
I'm done.
Say it. Okay. So you asked me to be here.
Yes, I asked her to be here because we procreated together.
That's not the only reason. There's three in the bill. All three of them are here.
All three of them.
One in the back, two right here.
So I wanted you to join me today. But the main reason I wanted help today is because I do like to have experts on topics come talk to the church, and Erica is absolutely an expert on birth. She's a midwife. She delivers babies here in town. She has her own birth center right next to the hospital called Luminary Birth and Wellness Center, and it's just a great resource for families. She offers preconception counseling, prenatal birth, postpartum,
pregnancy tests, the whole.
Yes. All that stuff, and just been to hundreds of births and knows a lot about it. So I thought it would be great to have someone of her caliber.
Right. Here. So not just based on the fact that we've had three kids, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we've had life experience, and you've had a lot of education, and we're going to combine all that together with the Bible and talk about what God has designed. And really, the tension or the difficulty comes in the differences between men and women. And maybe we should just start there, of like how the bodies are different. And this is the part that I've never heard talked about in church, but you know, how hormones work
and how
fertility works and stuff like that.
There's a little fertility 101. And before I say anything, I just want to say that men and women are different. That goes pretty much without saying. And this is just a little snapshot. We're all individual, unique people. So before I say any of these things, this isn't like this is the case for every single person ever born into this world, but it's the average. So that being said, how many days of, and we're going to make it smaller just so we can wrap our brains around it. How many days of the month do you think a woman is fertile? 7, 5.
Over here, 7, 5.
1.
We have a 9. Is that a 9?
Okay.
No, 4.
Somebody said 3 weeks. Okay. So.
Tell us.
When an egg is released,
yes,
there is about 24 hours for that egg to be fertilized by some little swimmers.
Okay.
To begin the process of creating a human life. Prior to that, and just around that time, there's only about a five-day window. That's it. Out of 28 days in a cycle, an average cycle, there's about a five-day window.
But there's 24 hours where it is like
game time. Yeah.
And then a general window around that.
General window around it whenever the whole environment's appropriate to keep swimmers alive.
So the body, the woman's body releases an egg once every 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly two if there's twins.
Twins or something, or triplets.
Every once in a while that happens. But generally an egg gets released every 28 days. And that 24-hour is like the main fertile period, and then there's a window of 4 or 5 days where it could happen.
Because it's hospitable to the swimmy guys
yes.
that are trying to meet up with the egg.
Conversely,
yes,
a man.
How many days of the month is a man fertile? Every single day.
Somebody said 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, his entire life.
Yeah. I mean, it does taper off at the end, so, you know, of your life.
thankfully, it kind of warms up and tapers off, but there's a good 60 years probably there that it can happen.
Yeah.
So that causes a lot of
there's some hormonal tension there between men and
associated
women.
Associated with the egg coming out is a hormone boost. I don't know what you would call it, of whatever.
That sounds good.
That causes a woman to be more interested in having that connection with a man.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. During that one part of the month.
Yeah.
Ovulation? Is that what that's called?
That's ovulation. That's when women are very...
I can deliver a baby, too, if y'all, anybody... She's busy. I've been around her so long, I've learned so much.
You're ridiculous.
So the ovulation.
Yeah.
So there's a surge in hormones for a woman to get her interested to do whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. The man has those surge of hormones.
Every day.
All the time.
Life.
Yes. So that's so interesting. I want us to go to the Bible and look at this. Because the things that we're talking about today are a design from God.
Totally.
Which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about in general, this is what we're talking about in general.
Right.
And the reason why you have to say that is because sin came in.
Yeah.
Sin has come in and caused so much trouble around this that people live by their hormones, they live by their emotions. Or sin has come in to contaminate the birth process, causing deformity, problems with birth, miscarriages. All of those things have come in because of sin in the world in general. But God designed this, and the more we've grown and learned about this, it's such a miracle every time it works. You know, so what I want us to do is I want us to go to the Bible, the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, the first chapter, and I want us to look at what God says about this. So this is Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. We're created in the image and likeness of God. So instead of just thinking about like we're made to look like God physically, we're also in the image of God in his characteristics. So he is a creator, and what he's done is he's created us to be able to procreate with him.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
The next verse says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and govern it. So this is a huge part of this. Command from God to have babies, have more people participate in this process, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. So we reflect God's image as creator when we have more humans come from us. And that's such an incredible thing. I know all of us know that we have babies, and for those of you that are young, you've never been to an actual birth. You go to your first actual birth, and it is so phenomenal. You see a human coming out of another human. It is so crazy. And so we've grown up around it. We know that it happens. We see it in movies and all that kind of stuff. But something we don't realize is that God could have created the world in a different way. Yeah. There's an excerpt in this book. Why don't you share?
Yeah, that? Well, I want to say something that we talked about. You know, you're saying God could have done it another way. God could have just been like, here's a bunch of humans, live and enjoy life.
Yeah, he could have made us
all at once, here you are, enjoy. He even said he could have sent storks to drop babies off. Yeah. I mean, it could have been an actual thing. But it's not, in case you were confused. All right. So this book right here, On Birth, is by Timothy Keller. He has several little short books like this. There's On Birth, On Marriage, On Death. Really great little nuggets of truth. But one of these things he says about birth, he says, rather than directly creating each new human being himself, the Lord bestowed on the union of male and female the unique power to bring new human beings into the world.
Awesome.
God made us as partners in this divine work. So whenever he first created Adam and Eve, they were the first. And he allowed us to partner with him in this creative act of bringing new life into the world. So we are participating in this divine process.
It's such a compliment, it's not the right word, but it's such an honor to be able to participate with him to fill up the earth with more people. And to have that ability and that responsibility is a big deal. So one of the things we really want to do today is help people reshape their thinking about this whole idea of procreation, having babies, and really make it God-centered instead of us-centered or self-centered. Because so many times we think about having babies, and especially if you're married and you're ready to have babies or whatever, you start thinking, do we want to have babies? Do we have the money to have babies? Have we had enough fun without babies so now we can have babies? And there's so many different variables that we consider before we have babies, that most of those are not centered around God's plan for us to participate in filling the earth with humans. It really is about us.
Right.
So I want to read one more verse, and then we're going to share our own story about this to kind of help you paint the picture for you a little bit. But in the next verse, chapter 2, God gives us the context for which this procreation should happen. It says this in Genesis 2:23. At last, the man exclaimed, this one, he's finally seeing woman for the first time. This one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken for man. Basically, he had been seeing giraffes and hippos and rhinos and wolves or whatever, you know. And that's all he's seen. And all of a sudden, for the first time, he sees one that's like him. He's amazed. He's stunned. He's in awe of her beauty. And this next sentence is the context for procreation. It says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. So this is the context for procreation. It is when a man and a woman leave their father and mother, and they're united and become one. He's joined with his wife, and the two become one. This is talking about a marriage covenant between a man and a woman, and it's talking about two whole people coming together, not I'm a half person, you're a half person, we come together to make one person. You know, that's what Hollywood teaches us. You complete me. That's not biblical. If we're looking to another human to complete us, we're going to be dissatisfied. We're going to be unfulfilled. But instead, if we follow and look after God to fulfill us, and he makes me whole, and then she does the same thing, she's made whole by God, then those two whole people come together and say, let's walk together throughout life. And let's walk towards eternity. Let's walk toward Jesus together. We're going to unite, and we do the marriage vow. We become one. We consummate the marriage, and it's this beautiful thing. That's the context for which God has called us to procreate. And so much has happened in the world that has complicated this process. And because the act of conception is such an enjoyable experience, people have made that the main thing. And they have, instead of the act of sex being something that is part of God's process that leads to procreating and filling the earth, people have made the act of sex like the end all, like that's the destination. And I want to help people learn that God has a better way, you know, that he created this. He's the one that made it enjoyable. So it's a good thing. And he's the one that designed our bodies to have hormones and for those hormones to surge or whatever. And it's probably a good thing that a woman is really only, in general, passionate once a month. Could you imagine if we all were fertile every day of the year? There would be like a trillion people on the earth right now. So God knew exactly how the bodies could work together to be appropriate, the population, all that kind of stuff. And so here we are trying to navigate 2021 and figure out how to live a life that's honoring to God's plan and be fulfilled at the same time. And I think some people might think, I can't be fulfilled if I'm abstinent or if I'm living by some sort of legalistic thing, but there's actually beauty and fulfillment coming from God. Mm-hmm. Man, we're just warming up, and he's coming out to play the piano already. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know what we're talking about. Okay. I want us to share our story just a little bit, and because I think it will help paint the picture. We were married in 1999. We were married for a couple years. We started having the traditional thought that most couples do. Okay, it's time for us to start having babies, all right? Or have a baby. So Erica became pregnant, and we told our parents, we're all excited. And then our daughter was born in 2001, and there was a lot of complications with her birth, a lot of disability in her life. And it was, you know, the doctors only gave her a few months to live. And so we were very troubled by that. And we're trying to figure out how to raise her and how to take care of her. And it was very difficult. But she gets to, you know, she's like a year old, year and a half old. We start thinking, well, she's not dying. And she's, you know, we're kind of figuring out how to take care of her. Should we have another baby?
Right.
And so we start thinking through that. And what do we think?
We were kind of hesitant. I mean, we didn't know at that time if our daughter's condition was genetic or not. And we had been going through a lot of testing. We were waiting on results. And we prayed about it, felt a lot of peace about having another child. And whether
we did really pray about it.
We did actually pray about it that time. And we just had a lot of peace. And we just trusted that whoever this next child was, God had it under control. And we got pregnant, and the next week the geneticist called us and said, hey, we just want to let you know it's not genetic. It was just a rare birth defect that your daughter had. And we said, well, that's good, because we're expecting another baby.
So Jude was born in 2004.
Jude was born.
And he was a healthy little guy.
Mm-hmm.
We started raising him. He's about a year, year and a half old. We start thinking, should we have a third baby?
Yeah.
Start wrestling with that idea. And
truthfully, this time there wasn't as much prayer. It was like, man, we've got a child that's disabled and a typical child, and our daughter, who's a joy to us and we adore, is not a playmate because she physically wasn't able to play with our son. And we just thought, it would be good for him to have somebody to play with and hang out with and be with, and maybe we should have another kid.
So we wanted to talk to you about this because that's really not the reason why you have a
child. No, that's not, that you don't have kids for playmates.
Sorry,
for entertainment's sake. Not a good plan.
But
we're glad we made that plan.
So many people think about having kids like it's a new car.
Right.
Though, you know,
right.
Like, can we afford it? Do we need it? And they almost see a baby as just a baby. Do we want a baby? Do we want something to play with another kid, or do we? And instead of viewing it as we're making another 65-year-old person.
Right.
You know, we're making somebody that's going to work and participate in the earth. And the bigger vision of this whole thing is so much different than just having a baby.
Yep.
But our minds, unfortunately, a lot of times don't think about that.
Our natural way of operating in our culture, in American culture anyway, is very self-serving.
Yeah.
Very much like you were saying at the beginning, you know, have I gone on enough trips? Do we want our life interrupted by a kid? Can we provide enough? And not that there's not wisdom in considering and thinking, but where we've gotten things so backwards is asking God, what have you called us to? What do you want for our lives? What do you want for the number of children we're going to have?
Yeah. So I had a thought when you're talking there. I've seen in San Marcos the pregnancy rate of kids in school, like junior high and high school, is off the charts. And there's a culture of young adults here in San Marcos, young girls actually, that will have a child because of the value it brings to them, or the worth that it makes her feel like, or she has it to try to make a guy stay with her in order to, as leverage, you know. And it hurts my heart so much because she's longing for that child to bring her value. This is exactly what happened in the Old Testament with Leah and Rachel. We don't have time to go in that whole story, but dig it up. You know, Rachel was dying to have a child,
right?
Because it was going to make her valuable, and it really wasn't about just honoring God and what He had. So,
right.
You know, we have people in all different stages of life. Maybe you're in junior high, maybe you're a young adult, maybe you're married, maybe you're a potential grandparent. You're ready. You're ready for your kids to start having kids.
Hang on, we.
You want to go back?
We had number three.
We did.
He's right here.
Yay.
Avery Steele. And they've been great playmates most of the time until they punch each other every once in a while.
So after Avery was born, your thoughts were?
I had three children in diapers. And I said, no mas. We're going to stop that train because I cannot do anymore. And there wasn't a lot of praying about that. I was in a tough place.
We called the doctor,
surgically ended the train there.
Yeah. So we just felt like that. And I want to be transparent with you too. But my thought, man, it's hard to say this, but I thought, man, can we afford a fourth child? Can we provide for a fourth child? And we really wrestled with that and thought, you know, I don't know if we could do that. And can't afford it, you know, birth's expensive, kids are expensive, blah, 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 all that. And we really, in my heart, it was about that. Yours was more of a practical, I don't know if I have the time and the mm-hmm. effort and the energy mm-hmm. to do it. And it really wasn't about trusting God, that if God says you're going to do this, that he would provide the necessary whatever
right.
we were nervous about. So there may be some of you kind of on the fence about this and thinking through it and thinking, you know, we just can't do it or whatever. And I want you to know, if God's called you to something, he's going to provide for you. And mm-hmm. if something has happened by accident or unplanned, he can redeem that too.
Absolutely.
So after the end of our conceptions happened, several years down the road, we began to really question that and think, mm-hmm. did we make a mistake? Should we have done something else?
Yeah.
And it was really a painful situation for us. We thought maybe we made a mistake.
Yeah.
And because it really wasn't about God.
Right.
It was about us. So that led us to fostering and thinking about mm-hmm. adopting. And then we did that for a couple years. And it was yeah. a beautiful season.
Mm-hmm.
We helped a lot of people. A lot of young people that had been taken from their homes, and they all went back to their homes, and there was mm-hmm. a season in our life where we helped those kids. And then you went back to school, became mm-hmm. a midwife, and here mm-hmm. we are.
Yep.
So we're throwing out a bunch of different ideas, a bunch of different thoughts, because we want to help people in whatever stage you're in. And if you're wanting to follow after Jesus and you're wanting to live a life that honors him, then we go to the Bible, and I've got this card because that's where the scriptures were that I was reading to you. We go to the Bible and look at his original plan for the earth and the world and say, I want to honor this, God. We believe with all of our heart, those of us that have been following Jesus for a long time, that when we honor him and obey what he's called us to do, the results are so much more rewarding and fulfilling and satisfying than if we take a shortcut and do something else. So if we want to do that, that's a heart thing first. That's a spiritual thing first. Like, I'm drawn to follow God. I'm drawn to obey him. I want to obey what the Bible says, but there's parts of my life that are not doing that. And there's parts of me that are conflicted about what the Bible says to do. If that's you, then that confliction is something that is actually from God, and we call that conviction. That means that God is leading you. That's a heart thing, that he's leading you to do something different than what you're currently doing, and that's a good thing. And so we surrender our heart to God. We say, Lord, I want to follow this. I want to follow you. And then after that spiritual moment happens and we make that commitment to God, we immediately need to put guardrails up to help us on those days that we wake up and don't feel like following after God.
Right, exactly. That's it.
Oh, just exactly.
Exactly.
So let me just, I want to say one thing, or two things real quickly. The best thing that you can do in your life to help you with accountability and as a guardrail is to get other people in your life. And that's why we do small groups. If you don't have, you know, your number one person would be a spouse if they're going in the same direction. But if you don't have a spouse like that, or don't have a spouse at all, you need to find someone that can mentor you, help you, pray for you, ask you questions, ask you difficult things that you may not want to answer, but they will help you. That's a guardrail for you. So you're kind of drifting off the path, like, oh, I think I'm going to go. Boom. You hit that relationship's right there. It helps you come back. Serving helps you do that. Also, knowing your body and knowing where you're going to be tempted is very, very helpful. And so we talked about earlier the physiology of this, where, you know, there's a certain time of the month that a female will be more inclined to have a relationship physically with a guy. Because you may have heard this before. Somebody says, man, we had sex one time and got pregnant. How does that happen? What are the odds of that? How weird is that? Well, when you understand the physiology,
it's not quite so weird.
It's really not that weird.
Yeah.
Because it is when you're fertile
that you're drawn to each other. Yep. God designed it that way.
Yeah. So if you know that, then you can be prepared for that. And so if you're a woman, you can know your cycle and know that that's a possibility. If you're a guy and you're always on your cycle, like you're always ovulating little swimmers, then there's certain times of the day, there's certain people. The book of Proverbs talks about this for men. There's people you need to stay away from. There's certain relationships that are not healthy for you. There's certain places you need to avoid. There's certain things you need to not look at, you know, that's going to help you. Those are guardrails that help you stay on the path, you know, to honor God and to be in a relationship with a spouse and walking down this path is such a rewarding thing. So I want to pray right now for all of us. I want us all to pray. I want us to go to God. And also have a heart for those of you in here today that may be wrestling with something totally unrelated to what we're talking about. God's with you right now. He's listening to your heartbeat. And he knows the fear that you have and the trepidation that you're feeling. And so I just want to pray with everybody. And I'd love for you to join with me. If you're brand new and or maybe you've been around for a while, but you don't have a relationship with God and you would like that, then I want you to join in with us too, because this is going to be a very simple prayer and we can all pray this together. And it's just going to start by saying, God, please forgive me for making this about myself instead of you. Would you say something like that in your own words? Lord, please forgive me for thinking that life is just about me and my pleasure and my fulfillment and my success. Lord, please forgive me for thinking that it's up to me completely. I recognize today that you are the creator and that I'm made in your image. And Lord, I want to reflect your image to this world. I want to obey you. I want to follow after you. And I'm sorry that I have failed in doing that. Would you just be honest with God right now? Just be honest and tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for doing that. I want to get on the path right now today to follow after you. I trust you, Jesus, that you saved me. I trust you, Jesus, that you're going to redeem the parts of my life that I've screwed up. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us right now. Thank you for being with every one of us individually and collectively. Thank you for restoring hope today. Thank you for restoring our idea of the world today through your eyes. You have a great plan for this planet. You have a great plan of redemption, Lord. We want to be in it. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, fill us with your spirit, I pray. From the top of our head to the sole of our feet, may we be a conduit. May we be a channel, a vessel for you to flow through, pour into, God, so that we would be a part of your great movement here on this earth, and that we would follow you, Lord. Wherever you go, we want to follow you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. We're honored to walk with you through this. You have something coming up in a few months or a few weeks or something about another class, a fertility class.
Yes, yeah. So this fall, and I don't have the date nailed down yet, but we're going to do a fertility class for anyone who wants to join.
Anybody. So yeah. we'll let people know about that. So God bless you so much. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love you so much. We'll see you here next Sunday.